This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents a full cast production of American Gods, the 10th Anniversary Edition by Neil Gaiman.
Dedication for absent friends, Kathy Acker and Roger Zelazny, and all points between. An introduction to the 10th anniversary edition. I don't know what it's like to listen to this book. I only know what it was like to live the writing of it. I moved to America in 1992. Something started in the back of my head. There were unrelated ideas that I knew were important and yet seemed unconnected. Two men meeting on a plane, the car on the ice, the significance of coin tricks, and more than anything, America. This strange, huge place where I now found myself living that I knew I didn't understand. But I wanted to understand it. More than that, I wanted to describe it. And then, during a stopover in Iceland, I stared at a tourist diorama of the travels of Leif Erikson, and it all came together. I wrote a letter to my agent and my editor that explained what the book would be. I wrote, American Gods, at the top of the letter, certain I could come up with a better title. A couple of weeks later, my editor sent me a mock-up of the book cover. It showed a road and a lightning strike, and at the top it said, American Gods. It seemed to be the cover of the book I had planned to write. I found it both off-putting and exhilarating to have the cover before the book. I put it up on the wall and looked at it, intimidated, all thoughts of ever finding another title gone forever. This was the book cover. This was the book. Now I just had to write it. I wrote the first chapter on a train journey from Chicago to San Diego. And I kept traveling, and I kept writing. I drove from Minneapolis to Florida by back roads, following routes I thought Shadow would take in the book. I wrote, and sometimes when I was stuck, I hit the road. I ate pasties in the Upper Peninsula and hush puppies in Cairo. I did my best not to write about any place I had not been. I wrote my book in many places, houses in Florida and in a cabin on a Wisconsin lake, and in a hotel room in Las Vegas. I would follow Shadow on his journey, and when I did not know what happened to Shadow, I would write a Coming to America story, and by the time I got to the end of that, I would know what Shadow was doing, and so would return to him. I wanted to write 2,000 words a day, and if I wrote 1,000 words a day, I was happy. I remember when it was all done in first draft, telling Gene Wolfe, who is the wisest writer I know, and has written more excellent novels than any man I've met, that I thought I had now learned how to write a novel. Gene looked at me and smiled kindly. You never learn how to write a novel, he told me. You only learn to write the novel you're on. He was right. I'd learned to write the novel I was writing, and nothing more. Still, it was a fine, strange novel to have learned how to write. I was always aware of how very far short it fell of the beautiful, golden, gleaming, perfect book I had in my head, but even so, it made me happy. I grew a beard, and I did not cut my hair while I was writing this book, and many people thought I was a trifle odd, although not the Swedes, who approved and told me that a king of theirs had done something very similar, only not with a novel. I shaved the beard off at the end of the first draft, and disposed of the unfeasibly long hair shortly after that. The second draft was mostly a process of excavation and clarification. Moments that needed to grow grew, and moments that needed to be shorter were trimmed. I wanted it to be a number of things. I wanted to write a book that was big and odd and meandering, and I did, and it was. I wanted to write a book that included all the parts of America that obsessed and delighted me, which tended to be the bits that never showed up in the films and television shows. I finished it, eventually, and I handed it in, taking a certain amount of comfort in the old saying that a novel can best be defined as a long piece of prose with something wrong with it. And I was fairly sure that I'd written one of those. My editor was concerned that the book I'd given to her was slightly too big and too meandering. She didn't mind it being too odd. And she wanted me to trim it, and I did. I suspect her instincts may have been right, for the book was certainly successful. It sold many copies, and it was fortunate enough to receive a number of awards, including the Nebula and the Hugo for primarily science fiction, the Bram Stoker for horror, and the Locus for fantasy, demonstrating that it may have been a fairly odd novel, and that even if it was popular, nobody was quite certain which box it belonged in. But that would be in the future. First, the book needed to be published. The publishing process fascinated me, and I chronicled it on the web, on a blog I started for that reason, but which has continued to this day. When it was published, I went on a book signing tour across the US, then to the UK, then to Canada, and finally home. The first book signing I did was in June 2001, at the Borders Books and the World Trade Center. A couple of days after I returned home, on September the 11th, 2001, neither that bookstore nor the World Trade Center existed. The reception the book was given surprised me. I was used to telling stories that people liked, or that they didn't read. I'd never written anything divisive before, but with this book, people either loved it, or they hated it. The ones who hated it, even if they liked my other books, really hated it. Some people complained that the book was not American enough, others that it was too American, that Shadow was unsympathetic, that I'd failed to understand that the true religion of America was sports, and so on. All undoubtedly valid criticisms. But in the end, mostly, it found its people. I think it's fair to say that more people loved it, and continue to love it. One day, I hope I will go back to that story. Shadow is 10 years older now, after all. So is America. And the gods are waiting. Neil Gaiman, September 2010. A note on the text. The book you're listening to is slightly different from the version of the book that was previously published. Shortly after it was published, Pete Atkins and Peter Schneider, the partners in Hill House Publishers, a now, alas, defunct small press book publisher, arranged with the book's US publishers to do a special edition of American Gods. As they told me about the wonderful treats they'd planned for the limited edition, something they planned to be a miracle of the bookmaker's art, I began feeling more and more uncomfortable with the text that they would be using. Would they, I inquired rather diffidently, be willing to use my original untrimmed text? As it turned out, they would. And then it became more complicated as I realized that, of course, after I had trimmed American Gods, I had made other editorial corrections and changes, many of which were for the better. So the only way someone could create a definitive American Gods text would be by comparing my final unedited version with my final edited version, and then with the final printed version, because I cheerfully scrawled changes on the galley proofs and just as cheerfully not actually bothered to keep track of them, and then making a number of judgment calls. It was going to be an enormous amount of work, so I did the only sane thing under the circumstances that I could do. I sent several enormous computer files and 2 copies of the book, the English and the American editions, to Pete Atkins, along with my list of errors and typos I'd noticed since the book was published, and I asked him to sort it out. He did, excellently. Then I took the manuscript that Pete had prepared and went through it myself, fixing things and tidying and sometimes restoring cuts I'd made for a reason that wasn't just making the book shorter, to come up with a final version of the text that I was perfectly happy with. Given that a novel is always, as I might have mentioned, a long piece of prose with something wrong with it. Hill House published it in a limited edition of about 750 copies, described as a miracle of the bookmaker's art, and not by them this time. It was very expensive. I'm grateful that my publishers were willing to publish the expanded version of the book on the 10th anniversary of its publication, and in a much larger edition than 750 copies, and for a lot less money. The version of American Gods that you are listening to is about 12,000 words longer than the one that won all the awards, and it's the version of which I'm the most proud.